Coming to you live from the Hall of Truth, it's the Nate Darling Show.
Fire a warning shot across her nose.
With Jason Casey and Kareem Daniels. And now, relax, good citizen.
Nothing! You've got nothing!
Here's Nate.
Here I am.
Hey.
And there you are, everybody. Thanks for downloading and listening to the show. Tell your friends about it if you enjoy the show. Share in the good word.
And if you don't, just lie and tell them about it.
Well, if you're listening and you don't like it, then God bless you.
Yeah, thank you.
Are you hate listening right now? Those sons of bitches.
I know people hate watch. I mean, I don't know if people...
Oh, dude, I know people who hate listen to stuff all the time.
Yeah.
It used to be a big thing with talk radio, so it sort of transferred over to podcasts a little bit.
Yeah, I just stopped listening to them. Like, after they've, like, really got me upset once or twice, then I just kind of stopped listening to them and, like...
I have completely cut Adam Carolla from my life.
Yeah, yeah.
Completely.
What?
Yep.
Yeah, I stopped listening to him about 3 years ago, 2 years ago.
I stopped listening to him on the regular just before the 2016 election.
Uh-huh.
I was closing in on the wedding, so I was busy. I didn't have as much time to listen to podcasts. And I'm like, you know what? We're going into the election. He's going to talk about more political stuff than I really want to hear him talk about.
Yeah.
I don't care for his viewpoint about a lot of things. I mean, I know what it is.
Yeah.
And it's based upon his personal experiences that he extrapolates out to the whole world, which in a vacuum sounds like it makes sense, but when you actually talk about it and look at the bigger picture, it doesn't.
Especially growing up where he grew up, like, it doesn't matter. Like, it's not, his experience is different from a lot of people's experience.
Sure. His experience is very different than my experience, and yeah. I get it. He grew up and his mom was on assistance.
Yeah.
And all of that. And she was a super liberal and all of this other stuff. And I get that the experiences he's had has made him feel a certain way. And I feel differently. And that's fine. I was like, you know what? That's fine.
Yeah, right.
And then I went back to listen periodically. I would pop in and they changed the format of the show. It's longer. It's in two parts. So it's kind of weird. And there's a lot more. And by the way, he has six stories that he tells over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And then does bits like who the F sells this S? Yeah. And they call up people on Craigslist to go, oh, what a loser you are. You're selling the saucers from teacups, but no teacups. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, it just wasn't for me anymore.
Yeah.
And I popped back in and I still had it on social media and whatever else.
Right.
The social media has gotten very active and very political. And I was just like, you know what? The follow is over, my friend.
Oh, wow.
You know, and I didn't, it wasn't one of those things where I was like, you Adam Carolla and you're, blah,
blah, blah. You have a very simple way to stop it.
Yep. I unfollowed him. Yeah. And this is somebody who I have seen live multiple times. I've seen him do stand-up live. I've seen him do his podcast live. I have spent money on numerous occasions to support him. And we've grown apart.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really all it is. We've grown apart.
He was going to be the godfather to your children.
Or I've grown and now we're apart.
Yeah. I think it really might be more than that. You don't live in a vacuum of yes men.
Because he has not... No, I have Kareem here. Kareem is like the opposite of a yes man.
Yeah.
He's like a no woman. That's what I'm saying. So it's one of those, but there are people who hate listen to different things.
Yeah.
That, oh, you make me so mad when you say that.
Life's too short.
And they hate follow people on Twitter. I will not follow the President of the United States on Twitter. I'll check in here and there. Plenty of people share some of his nonsense stuff. I'm not following him on social media.
I don't need to do it. Like, yeah, whatever.
Like, it's not like I can't find it out.
Somebody already donated money in my name to him and put my email address on. Like, so it's already bad enough that I get so many emails from him.
I got a call last night I'm sitting on the couch and my cell phone rings, and it's this it's a number from Lincoln, California, which is a sleepy bedroom community about 40 minutes from here. A lot of white people there. And
no, it's Placer County.
And they're doing a survey about political viewpoints. And I said, hold on, what exactly are you again? He goes, well, we want your opinion. And I said, about what? And he said, oh, well, about politics. And I said, I'm really sorry, but my opinion about politics is very private and very sacred to me. So I'm sorry, I can't help you. Unless you listen to the show, and then I'll tell you everything you want to know.
Then just, hey, how about this?
How about this? How about you check in on NateDarlingShow.com every Wednesday and Friday, and I'll let you know what I'm thinking about stuff.
Yeah, you should just do it. Just from now on, just
turn it around.
Yeah, just say, actually, I got. If you really want to know how I feel, mm-hmm. listen to my show on
yep.
Wednesday.
Yep. Yep.
I think my girlfriend gave my number to one of those people because I got a text message from the Republican Party.
They don't have. No one has to give your number. It's in banks and people buy it.
Yeah. I just know that somebody donated money because it always says, I know you're a friend because you donated money. Like, I mean, like, my, like, that's how, like, friend, how much are you going to donate today? Like, somebody, like, it's like, I mean, somebody really fucked.
I made the mistake of signing up. I signed a petition that Kamala Harris put out. And so she has my email address. And Kamala Harris, on a very regular basis, sends me a very worried email about something terrible that's happening in the country. And can't I give $5 or more to help fight it? And I immediately delete it. I have not unsubscribed yet.
Yeah. I've marked them as spam, and I still get them. this one says, friend, President Trump thanks you for your support. He knows how generous Americans like you have been to help save America from Democrats who want to open borders and mob rule. So before he sets foot on Air Force One to continue our mission to make America great again, he recorded a video to personally thank the most recent donors who stepped up to make a contribution to beat the Democrats. Will President Trump read your name next?
All gifts, retarded amateur idiots.
Yeah. All gifts will be triple matched. Contribute $20, that'll equal $80. Contribute $15, that equals $60. Contribute other amount. While Democrats keep encouraging their supporters to harass Republicans, President Trump wants the media to know that our movement is based on pure love of America. Like, just that line right there is based on pure love of America. Like, seriously, like, there's so many dog whistles in one email.
YOLO!
Please make contribution of $5 with only 7 days to go. Thank you. Thanks, Team Trump. Yeah, anyhow. So I get these every day, bro. And
Jason responds.
No.
Yeah. Like, I just don't know. Somebody really got me. I mean, like, really, like, somebody was like, I'm going to make you.
You know, I have
see his name every day.
I have $10 that I may put in your name toward John Cox.
Who's John Cox?
John Cox is running for governor of California.
Oh, is he he's the Republican?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. At this point, the election is Tuesday. This is the last show, new show before the election.
Yeah, so we'll find out.
We'll talk
about it.
I can't imagine Gavin Newsom is going to lose.
It's sad. It's sad that that's the choice that we had, that we had to make, but. You know,
well, between those two, it's not a difficult choice.
No, of course not.
It's just like I wasn't real thrilled with Trump or Hillary, but it wasn't hard for me to go, yeah, I'm going to vote for Hillary.
Yeah.
Because the opposite is it's a tire fire on top of a manure pile.
In a garbage dumpster.
It's, and, yeah.
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 It's, yes. Yeah. Yes. Anyhow, let's political this one. Let's political.
All right. You know what? It was a nice weekend. There was a convention in Milwaukee,
Nice.
And yeah, yeah. Let's check in with with WISN ABC 12 in Milwaukee and see what's going on.
I have to say, that's an impressive beard. What is your name?
Starswirl the Bearded.
It had to be in the name, right?
Of course.
So, do you have powers?
Yeah, the same magic that every unicorn has.
What is that?
Teleportation, levitation, and my special talent is magic, so I have the ability to do many sorts, whereas most unicorns only have spells that relate to their special talent.
So you're a more advanced unicorn.
I wouldn't say a more advanced unicorn, but a more versatile unicorn. Starswirl the Bearded is the element of sorcery, one of the six pillars of Equestria.
I'm going to have to do some research.
Yes.
You should have done some research before you went out to cover that, my friend.
Was this from a television station? Or
this? Yes, yes, this is a news report from a television station.
No, it doesn't sound like it.
It is. He's interviewing. Ben Hutchinson is the reporter. And he went to the My Little Pony convention.
Oh, you're shitting me. Oh, bronies, dude. This is for real. Alex did a film for somebody and like about bronies.
This is not sexual.
No, they're not sexual. It's
It won't let me put the Facebook up on the monitor for you, Kareem. I'm sorry.
He went to it though, and he said these people were. He said that they were awesome, cool, accepting people, but he said when they partied, they got crazy. after the conference, after the film.
White people dressed like unicorns. What could go wrong?
Oh no, he's dressed like a wizard because his specialty is magic. He's not dressed like a pony. He's just got a purple wizard's outfit on.
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty, so.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's a reason to cosplay, brah. It's cosplay, brah.
I can't even imagine that reporter going, "You want me to do what now?
Where am I going?
I've got to go to the My Little Pony convention.
Wait, what?
No, I'm not going to the. No, I'm not going to do that.
I thought for sure that this was some like show like that made fun of people. Or so. I like when I said that this is a newscast, I was like, I was not serious. I was actually saying it because it's like the guy does not sound enthused or like he's at all.
No, no,
he sounds like he's definitely
he would rather be in the worst neighborhood in Milwaukee covering a shooting than doing this.
Poor guy.
Yeah, poor guy.
Not
all right.
Not
so. We promised that that we would get into this on the last show because it's important. We need to weigh in on the Cardi B, Nicki Minaj beef. I'm gonna need hot takes. So the Cardi B, Nicki Minaj. They got beef, although allegedly they're in a truce right now as we record this show. Jason, what's your hot take?
I'm like a Nicki fan just because, but at the same time, Cardi B seems pretty, I don't know, it's cool that the ladies are getting in on the beef thing, you know, so hopefully they sell some records.
Kareem, what's your hot take on the beef?
How can you fucking have a beef with two people that can't rap? What kind of fucking beef is that?
They can rap. They can national rap.
Motherfucker, please.
All right.
I think we have our first hot take.
You're supposed to be a hip-hop fan.
Nicki Minaj's verse on the Monster... on the Monster track of Kanye West's Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy was fire and was awesome and it was dope. And I never really listened to her after that. It's kind of like when I heard Paul Wall on a Kanye track. I thought he was pretty awesome. But I'm not going to say she can't rap. Cardi B, I don't know. I don't know what she's talking about most of the time.
She don't even know what the fuck she's talking about most of the time.
So that's why I would have to say, you know, but... So that's my hot, yeah. But Nicki Minaj, you should listen to that Monster track off that Kanye album, and you'll see that that's
Nate,
she kills it. Nate, she kills
you,
it.
Wait. No, Jason, goddamn it, no.
You got to play that track.
I don't.
Oh, man.
All right, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to play this Nicki Minaj track that has over 600 million listens on Spotify. How about that? 600 million. 653 million.
That's what I mean. It's good.
It's been played 653 million times on Spotify.
Yeah, well, how many times Monsters have been played?
I'm not. Billion. I'm going into popular. I'm not digging that deeply into Nicki Minaj. And here's my hot take on it. You shouldn't fucking care about a beef between Nicki Minaj and Cardi B.
Yeah, right.
You should have more going on in your life than that. Unless you're one of the artists in their fucking orbit whose livelihood depends on either one of these two, you shouldn't give two shits about it. It's not even. With all due respect for Kareem and the how do you have a beef with people who can't rap, why would you even give a shit? Seriously.
Exactly.
That's my hot take.
You don't have no talent. Jean Grey, motherfucker, Jean Grey.
All right, here's another 600 million plays on Spotify.
She got 15 people on this fucking song.
Oh, I mean, I'm just saying, like, the one thing that I heard her on that ever made me be like, sounds pretty cool, is on that album.
You also said when you heard Paul Wall, you thought he was really cool.
I listened.
I heard, you might as well say, hey, when I heard a beaver gargling Listerine on a Kanye album, I thought he had a lot of talent.
Have you heard Jean Grey?
I think I have heard Jean Grey, and she's pretty dope. I'm not saying that there aren't other artists that are better than them right now. I'm just,
you can't hear Jean Grey and say that these two tricks can rap.
I don't know why would you care? I mean, I know I brought it up. It's been big on TMZ.
I haven't paid attention to it.
I haven't paid
You know why? Because you got shit going on in your life. You're doing things.
Yes.
You're making a difference.
I haven't paid attention to it.
Because you got a kid. You got a kid.
Well, I don't listen to, I honestly don't listen to popular, like the popular rap that's out there. So I haven't listened to really any Nicki Minaj or Cardi B. You know, like, I'm lucky when I find, yeah.
All right.
They don't play the artists that I like on the radio.
You know why? Because you're old now. That's what happens. You get old, they don't play your artists anymore. All right. Meanwhile, in South Carolina, a threesome went terribly wrong when a woman high on meth and heroin allegedly attempted to bite off the genitals of a male with whom she was trysting.
Hmm.
Cops were summoned around 9:30 p.m. to an apartment complex in Hanahan, which is about 15 miles north of Charleston. A 911 caller reported an assault where the female attempted to bite off his penis. Upon arriving at the residence, cops spotted a naked white female on hands and knees crawling into a hallway. The woman, covered in blood, ignored police commands to stop moving and was charging toward officers. She's already bit one penis, boys. Be careful.
Oh, man.
She's at dick level. The woman, cops noted, had already threatened to bite off the victim's penis as well. When the suspect continued to advance on officers, a patrolman engaged his taser on the female.
Wow.
Look, she's already threatened to bite off one penis, she's covered in blood, and she's coming at you at dick level. What do you do? What do you do?
You tase the shit out of her ass.
The suspect, identified as Cameo Louise Luchka, who's 26. Yeah. Cameo. Oh, Cameo. What are you doing?
Is that her stripper name?
No, it's from the arrest report. Told police that she had used heroin and methamphetamine that evening. Cameo later struggled with cops as they sought to place her on a gurney and barked, growled, and hissed at police. The victim, Steven Norton, 31, told cops that he and another man were having sex with her when she started passing out from drug use.
Devil's Triangle.
Mm-hmm. No, no, that's a drinking game. Norton said that he then asked her to leave his apartment, but Cameo refused. Norton then said that Cameo began throwing items at him and threatened to, quote, bite his dick off. That's when she struck him above the right eye with a glass object, causing a gash. Before calling 911, Norton recalled that he struck her several times with his fists. So, okay.
Yeah, he was dicking his mouth when he did that.
Norton told police that if Cameo went to the hospital, he would not pursue charges. She was transported to a North Charleston hospital, where Norton was treated for injuries at a Charleston hospital. While cops have classified the incident as an aggravated assault, investigators are still reviewing the matter, and no arrest has been made, according to Police Chief Dennis Turner. Oh, Cameo.
Stop biting people's dicks.
Yeah, it's not funny, ladies, when you threaten to bite a guy's dick off.
No.
It really isn't. So quit it. Jason, I think this is going to be you in a few years. This has been floating around on Facebook for a couple of weeks. I've been meaning to play it on the show, but I have not yet. This is Dad ranting about his daughter's eyebrows.
I've got a 23-year-old daughter who still lives at home, and the toughest part about that is, without a shadow of a doubt, having to constantly, daily remind and reassure her that her eyebrows are banging. What's happening, ladies? When did eyebrows become the most important part of a woman's body? I've already been through the makeup stage with her. God, she wore enough makeup to scare a drag queen back into wearing chinos. But now she's just like, tight my eyebrows, Dad. Tight my eyebrows. Tight my eyebrows, Dad. Tight my eyebrows. And I made the big mistake once. She asked me if I thought they were bushy. All I said was, well, let's just say Thumper wants his feet back. Next thing I see was a remote control flying through the air. I was like, oh, you get to your bedroom and take your eyebrows with you, because here's the thing. We know when you've had your eyebrows done. Not because they look any different, because just because you don't shut up about it. My daughter will come home and she'll be like, do you like my eyebrows, Dad? Just got them done. Do you like my eyebrows? Do you like my eyebrows, Dad? Do you like them? She'll post it on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat. And then all you ladies, you do that amazing thing where you all rally around and you leave comments. And you're like, oh my God, they're so nice. You look so beautiful. Where did you get them done? They look the exact same!
Okay, we're going to pause for an ad for a second, because this is Facebook. And we have to pause for an ad from Dignity Health.
Mm.
Dignity Health. When you can't go to Kaiser or Sutter. Dignity Health. And now back to Ranting Dad.
They look the exact same as what they did before you went to get them done. They don't look any different. Alright, no different at all. And I totally get that it's for use, right? And I love that, and I appreciate that, and I respect that, because it's definitely not for men. We don't care about your eyebrows. We don't. Two men have never once been standing chatting at a bar. A woman's walked in. Never once in the history of man has one man said to another man, oh, mate, check out the eyebrows on her. Oh, I just want to walk over and go, oh, yeah, we don't care. When have you ever once been making love to your man? Right, he's been behind you. Have you ever felt a hand coming over the top of your head trying to get a sneaky feel of your eyebrow? No, because we don't care. And even if we did, you'd be like, what are you doing, you daft gimp? You can touch my boobs, you can touch my bum, don't ever touch my eyebrows, alright? An ex-girlfriend once said to me, my eyebrows are semi-permanent. Stop making up words! Semi-permanent is an oxymoron. It doesn't exist. You can't have semi-permanent. That's impossible. Although, if you put those two words back to front, That's a thing which has never been achieved by looking at anyone's eyebrows. Alright. Jesus.
All while driving.
Oh my god, that's the funniest thing I've heard in a while.
There you go.
So, what was it? Where he used a permanent semi?
Yes, a permanent semi. And you've never gotten that by looking at eyebrows. It's absolutely true. This is a little bit ago, but I think it's important because a beloved performer whose age I got completely wrong, Paula Abdul, had a little bit of an incident. She fell off a stage.
I didn't see it.
You didn't have to. You could hear it, son.
Oh, man.
You can look on YouTube for Paula Abdul falls off the stage.
You don't even have to put the falling off the stage part. Just put Paula Abdul.
That's the one. That's the only one.
It's, oh, yeah. It's right at the top of my YouTube list right now.
All right. So there's been a lot of talk about racists and who's racist and I'm not racist and all of that jazz. So
who do racists think are racist?
Sure. It's been a lot of that. So The Root put together the top 10 phrases used by people who claim they're not racists.
Oh, good. I can't wait.
Hashtag not racists. So the article is not about racists. It's about not racists. You've seen them before, the special class of white people who say racist shit and do racist things, but declare themselves to be the least racist person you know. Their racism isn't always intentional. Sometimes it's a byproduct of privilege. Sometimes it's a deflection. And sometimes it's caused by the vapid, shallow inability to care about or understand anything that they don't agree with because they're the majority. The population of not racists is steadily growing. Not racists voted for Donald Trump. Not racists say that kneeling for the flag means you want to slit the throats of veterans. Not racists believe in blue lives, white Jesus, and black-on-black crime. So The Root decided to do a countdown of the 10 most popular phrases that you can easily identify not racists or play a game of not racist bingo in your spare time.
Yeah, let's do it.
Number 10. Why must everything have to be about race?
Yep, that's what racists say.
Kareem, why? Here's another one. I dated a black guy or a black girl. A few days ago, I received a message from a not racist woman who genuinely wanted to know why I use the phrase white people and its more hilarious cousin, white people. I patiently replied to her. I don't always clap out, but when I do, it's in the mailbag. She wrote back and that she understood. She explained that she wasn't racist because her ex-husband was black and she had half black children, which left me wondering, who are these black men and women dating these clueless white people? And leaving them as unwoke as they found them. You gonna let her raise your kids, bro? For real?
For real.
Who told white people that when a black penis enters a white vagina or vice versa, the orgasm gives them special immunity to being a bigot? If so, where does it go? The racism, not the penis. Instead of a march on Washington or the Montgomery bus boycott, we should have marched around the country having orgies?
I would have been for that.
That's not how this works. It's not how any of this works. Number 8, I don't see color.
Fuck you.
A lady told me that one night at a show, and I said, I hope I don't meet you at a stoplight.
Right. Number 7, you're the racist.
I've heard that one.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
Number 6, I grew up around black people.
Jason.
I didn't grow around any black people.
Me either.
I mean, there was like one guy in school.
Oh boy. There are people who grew up in the inner city or played Pop Warner football on the Negro side of the town who believe that they can't be racist. According to them, growing up around black people along with a Mandingo penis and black vagina completes the holy trinity of racism cures. When asked why the white boys raised on slave plantations, the millennials who went to integrated schools but carried tiki torches in Charlottesville, and Darren Wilson, who worked his entire career as a police officer in a majority black town before he shot Michael Brown Jr., still had remnants of racism in their bloodstreams, white people collectively paused, gazed at their flip-flops for a few brief seconds, and replied, "Why does everything have to be about race?" Number five, not all white people. Okay, I've used that one. I stopped.
Yeah.
It's like, clearly not all white people.
Clearly.
I mean, look, not all cops shoot unarmed black guys. In fact, it's an incredibly small percentage. It's still too high.
Yeah.
It's still too high. Nothing upsets the hashtag not racist stomach more than hearing the phrase white people used in any capacity. Only the term white privilege causes more consternation.
It's true, though.
The same woman that she wrote the letter to, earlier in this article, mentioned this. First and foremost, many of us white people could care less what racial label you bestow on us, because at the end of the day, the same loving God that created white skin created dark skin. Why does there have to be a label? Why must we classify as a color when we are all God's masterpiece? No one runs from what classification of one skin color reminds them of. What happened years ago is embarrassing. It's hurtful and morally disturbing. I'm fortunate my family did not participate in the barbaric behaviors as other whites. And God help our soul that had we ever considered using a racial slur at another person. No, my family was not and is not perfect, but sir, none of us were mentally disturbed. And that is what someone has to be in order to hold another against their will in captivity. And sir, why would you want to write such things that fuel the hatred? Why would you assume that all whites fit into one general spectrum? If this is so, does it mean that because you are black, sir, that you are a gangbanger? You see the issue here, sir?
Yeah, it's just so, because yeah, I mean, that's, wow. Mm-hmm. Right on.
Number four, go back to Africa.
Oh, my God.
Not racists believe that America belongs to them and that whiteness endows them with the power to excommunicate the offenders of their country at will. This, too, is white privilege. White privilege is believing you have the right to tell anyone to leave the country they built with their own hands for free. White privilege is believing that America is in decline and can only be made great again by a billionaire trust fund baby, but simultaneously saying that black football players have no right to criticize America because it made them rich. Number three, why must you always be the victim? Another not racist premise posits that when black people play the race card, they're blaming the failures of black people on racism. According to them, we want to make white people the villains and ourselves the victims. Well, they're partially correct. Black people kill too many other black people. The black family structure is falling apart. Blacks should focus more on education. Those things will help black people immensely. But if black people did all those things and ignored the fact that a black college graduate is more likely than a white high school grad to be unemployed and on average earns less than one, or that schools with majority black students receive less funds than white schools with the same tax and income bases, or ignored mass incarceration, sentence inequality, the drug war, the history of redlining, banks giving blacks higher interest rates, disproportionate police brutality. Well, that would be stupid. Number two, I don't want to sound racist, but... Okay, stop that. Stop that. Stop saying that. Because the next thing out of your mouth is going to be something racist.
That is true.
And finally, make America great again.
Yeah.
Son of a bitch.
You know, it's funny because you can think you're not racist and like still have a lot of these mentalities, you know.
Is it racist that I've been playing White Stripes under this whole thing?
Well, it's the immigrant song, right? So what's the name of the song?
Icky Thump.
Icky Thump, yeah. It's a good song. I mean, it makes sense. The song, kind of.
It's just playing the White Stripes because that's their name. I'm just saying, relax. Yeah, no, it's not all white people. And by the way, not everything's about you.
Not everything's about you.
And that was my moment of aha. It's not about me. And if I assume that when someone says, white people that they're talking about me. Why am I so fucking insecure about that?
Yeah.
Because if I legitimately am not doing that, then they're not talking about me.
That's right.
So why are you getting all defensive?
Yep.
Just saying.
It's tough. And, you know, you have to come to that realization. Everybody, all us white people.
Personal growth is hard. It's not just white people. All people. All people, Jason.
No, it's white people.
Listen, there's a lot of white people. But we go back to what is the mantra of the show?
Don't be an asshole.
Don't be an asshole.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter what gender, what creed, what race you are, don't be an asshole.
It's a pretty good foundation to live upon.
It really, and it's, you wouldn't think it would be that hard. Apparently it is, because we're still doing a show. All right, meanwhile, in Texas, a couple who enjoyed an appetizer of oral sex while fellow diners at a Mexican restaurant looked on have both copped pleas to public lewdness. Jonathan Hightower and LaShonda Fisher were busted in late December following their X-rated encounter at a booth at Baby Acapulco, which is in Austin.
Ew.
Yep, I just checked the date. It's taken that long.
Wow.
Police were called to the eatery at around 10:25 p.m. on a Saturday by a manager who reported that two customers had been engaged in oral sex at the booth inside the business in front of customers. As detailed in the arrest affidavit, a witness told Austin cops that while eating, she observed the female suspect giving oral sex to the male suspect. The diner recalled the female suspect's head bobbing up and down toward the male suspect's groin for about 5 minutes. A second patron reported seeing the male suspect's exposed penis as it entered the female suspect's mouth. Come on, you're looking for that at that point.
Did you see the tip of the penis yet?
Right.
One second, her head's moving up. Oh, I saw it. She got all over it.
Is he cut?
Yeah, he's cut. Oh, my God, you just spit on her hand.
Both witnesses said they were very offended by the sexual encounter. So offended that they couldn't stop watching. Which occurred while multiple children were present inside the restaurant. At 10:25 p.m.? Why are your fucking kids out at 10:25 p.m.? Yeah.
Not only that, I'm sure at least one, like the one person in the like, hey, Martha, see, she does it.
she likes it so much she does it in public. Can't even wait to get back to the car.
Yeah. Look at that, huh? Look at that. Maybe I should date her.
Remember when you used to do that?
Remember before we got married and had a bunch of kids? Now you'd give me a blowjob just willy-nilly?
Did they watch to completion?
A police review of the surveillance footage showed the female suspect's head descend down toward the male suspect's groin area. Hightower last week pleaded no contest to a public lewdness charge. While the misdemeanor carries a maximum of a year in custody, Hightower was sentenced to 2 days in jail in order to pay a $500 fine and court costs.
Along with a nice slap on the back on the way out. Good job, buddy.
Mm-hmm. Fisher, as part of the deferred adjudication plea, previously was fined $200 in order to perform 70 hours of community service. She was also ordered to stay away from Baby Acapulco, which is known locally as Baby A's.
She got an A in her orals.
She got an A in
But I'm sure there's a lot of guys who are just like, dude, good job, man. I mean, like, what are you in for? Man, girl was giving me a blowjob at Baby A's. Oh, dude! I wish that would happen to me, man.
Yeah.
I would definitely spend a day in jail.
Yeah, he was in because he had his dick out.
Yeah.
That's why. All right. A South Carolina man shot his cousin That's not okay. After the victim ignored the gunman's warning not to eat his potato chips. Okay, well, it's justified then. Ryan Langdale, 19, was charged with attempted murder, weapons possession, and obstruction of justice in connection with the September 29th shooting of his 17-year-old relative at a rural property about 60 miles from Charleston. Langdale told the responding officers that the victim accidentally shot himself while cleaning the hunting rifle. That claim was not initially refuted by the victim since he required emergency surgery after being rushed to the hospital. So you lied about shooting your cousin over chips while he was being rushed to the hospital? You dick!
Yeah.
But when the victim's health improved enough for a police interview, he told them that Langdale shot him after warning him not to eat his salt and vinegar potato chips.
Oh, I would shoot somebody over salt and vinegar.
You know, it's one of those things that like teaches you, like, you do not just let anyone into your home.
It's true.
You know, that's...
No, it teaches you not to eat anybody's salt and vinegar potato chips.
there is that. It's all very important. All right. Let's get back to this because we didn't get to do it last time, and I think it's important because...
Florida.
Right.
Land of enchantment. And crazy shit. This is Florida Corner.
A man wearing an inflatable dinosaur costume allegedly battered his girlfriend during a dispute over attending a Halloween party. Cops allege that Patrick Galway, 19, pushed the victim to the ground and proceeded to mount her and hold her neck to the floor with his left hand. The Saturday night confrontation at Galway's residence in Port St. Lucie came shortly after the 23-year-old woman arrived at the residence and was met by Galway wearing an inflatable dinosaur costume getting ready for a Halloween party. The victim told police she was in a strained relationship, said that she wanted the couple to go to a friend's house to watch a movie, but he demanded that she attend the Halloween party with him. During an interview with the victim, the patrolman noticed the redness was present to the right side of her neck, and there was a red mark on her upper torso. It's not funny, except for the dinosaur costume.
How do you get choked out by somebody in a dinosaur costume?
Short arms.
Short arms, exactly.
It's got the short arms. So, I don't know what's going on in Florida. A lot of craziness. A lot of craziness. I have one more Florida story One more Florida story for you that doesn't involve that. Yeah.
More Florida. Can't wait.
She got choked out by somebody in a dinosaur costume.
She told the police officer she had a small amount of heroin in her purse and bra. The needles, meth spoon, had apparently slipped from memory. It began with a traffic stop for an expired registration. Crestview police officer spotted a white Mustang with a tag that was about 2 weeks past due and pulled over the driver, a 40-year-old woman from Alabama. A records check revealed the driver was wanted in Walton County on an outstanding warrant for failure to appear on possession of drug paraphernalia. The officer restrained the woman and, before searching her in her car, asked if she had any weapons or something that could cause harm. Just in her purse and her bra, she replied. These are dangerous titties. When the officer searched the purse, he found needles, a white crystal-like substance that turned out to be methamphetamines, and a gray powder with a spoon. The gray powder tested positive for heroin. The small envelope hidden inside the woman's bra contained meth. She was charged with drug possession, paraphernalia possession, and having an out-of-county warrant.
Heroin.
Oh, is there anything dangerous that could hurt me? Just my titties.
Well, I do have a needle in my bra.
just my titties. This also qualifies sort of as Florida Corner. So it's a mommy blog from Memphis.
Oh, damn.
It's the Memphis Moms blog. Yay! I think you should count yourself lucky, Jason, that your wife has a job because it doesn't give her time to write a mommy blog. And if there's anything more disturbing than white supremacists marching through the street with tiki torches, it's people writing mommy blogs. This one is titled, Dear Child-Free Millennials, You're Ruining Disney World. It is a perfect day in Walt Disney World. My five-year-old has waited forever for this day, and his little heart bursts with joy as we walk through the gates of the Magic Kingdom and get our first glimpse of that iconic Cinderella's castle. He sees one of the many characters that are led through the park for pictures and autographs. OMG, it's Winnie the Pooh, his fave! We run over to get a picture with Pooh. Out of nowhere, three millennials wearing Mickey Mouse ear headbands push my child out of the way to get to Pooh first. You read that right. Three grown adults felt that it was okay to cut in front of a child to take a picture with a man woman dressed as a character from a kid's show. Later that day, we spotted a craft table set up for kids to sit and color pictures of their favorite Disney characters. After waiting 15 minutes for a turn to the table, my child was getting antsy, and I decided we should just move on without getting to sit and color. He was upset that he didn't get his turn after waiting so long, but I explained to him that sometimes that's the way the cookie crumbles. Oh, did I mention that the craft table occupants were all over the age of 20? Tons of kids were turned away from the crayon table because a bunch of adults wanted to color a picture of Donald Duck.
Well, they did pay like $75 to get in the door, so.
When I was doing research for our trip, I came across a Disney World-themed blog written by a child-free millennial couple. In their review of a special dinner package where you can pay to eat dinner with Disney characters, they had the nerve to give the dinner a bad review. Why? There were too many kids running around being loud. Dear sir and madam, you went to the Mickey Mouse dinner. What did you expect? These scenes were repeated over and over again on our trip to Disney this fall, and that's why I'm here to officially declare, Child-free millennials, you're ruining Disney World! But before I continue, I feel that several prefaces are in order. Preface number one. I get it. With everything going on in the world today, it's a total champagne problem. Boo-hoo, I can afford to take my family to a super expensive vacation spot. Trust me when I say I'm fully aware of how blessed I am to even know that millennials are ruining Disney World. The ability to know that millennials are ruining Disney World reveals that I live in a socioeconomic bubble of prosperity that many people will never experience. I'm Catholic, so guilt comes very naturally to me. Be assured that as I write that millennials are ruining Disney World, I know in my heart to be a truth. I still feel kind of guilty for complaining about it.
Do you feel guilty about not complaining about the Catholic priest that molested all those kids? I'm just wondering if that's where Catholic guilt comes from. Probably. Okay, never mind.
Preface number two. Disney World is expensive. Like hashtag sell a kidney expensive. Anyone willing to pay $100 for a ticket to the Magic Kingdom should get to ride It's a Small World as many times as they want, regardless of age. If a 30-year-old man wants to wear a Johnny Depp-style pirate hat and ride Cinderella's carousel, who am I to deny him? Sam Platts. Life is hard and we all need a little escape from reality sometimes. Preface 3. I love Disney World, and even if I didn't have kids, I would probably still want to go every once in a while. Procreating isn't a requirement for visiting Mickey Mouse. Also, this post is in no way commentary on one's rights to choose not to have kids. I support your choice to live lives free from mac and cheese every night and stepping on Legos with bare feet. What a pretentious twat bag.
That's what it's like, Jason.
What's that?
That what it's like having mac and cheese all night and stepping on Play-Doh.
She wraps it up with, Millennials, this is America. I can't stop you from getting your Disney World fix, and even if I could, I wouldn't want to. All I'm asking is that you take a deep breath and put your behavior in proper context. Thanks for listening. And now you come back to taking selfies with your avocado toast or whatever you young people do with your time.
Oh, my gosh.
Question. Could you hate her anymore?
I mean,
avocado toast.
I just, like.
He's getting ready to defend her, Kareem.
No, I'm not going to defend. No, I mean, I get it in one hand. Like, kids, like, somebody getting your kid off their. But first of all, I got a couple of things to say about. First of all, like, there's no kid that watches Pooh anymore, so I'm kind of already thinking that this is suspect. Like, the Pooh is your kid's favorite character. Like, I mean, really, kids that are ages 2 to 4 are going to be more into, like, what's actually on Disney Channel right now, and that's like Mickey Mouse Roadsters, like Sophia the Princess, Elena, like Winnie the Pooh is only on if you're showing VHS tapes to your kid of Winnie the Pooh. Like,
oh, bother.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's not. I tried watching Winnie the Pooh with my kid, and she was not into it. Like, she wanted to watch
Mickey Mouse. Well, that's because it's fucking depressing.
That was my favorite. Like, now, as a kid who was born in 77, like, Eeyore was my jam. Like, I loved Eeyore because it reminded me of my grumpy grandpa. But that was like, anyhow, like, I just, oh my, there's so many things about this chick, like, just so upsetting, like, and just like, I'm so tired of this view of millennials, like, they're these people that, like, are ruining things, and, like, oh man, like, maybe it's because I almost identify as a millennial, like, in one sense, but I don't know, man, I really dislike people like just making fun of millennials. Like, it's fucking ridiculous.
It's lazy.
It's
really lazy. And you know how I know that you're a piece of shit, lady? Because you don't actually know anybody in that age group. You're making blanket judgments based upon the behavior of a few people that you happen to see, that you've already got a predetermined idea about who they are and what they're into, and that bullshit lame trope about taking pictures with avocado toast. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Fuck you. I know you saw that on Fox News once and went, ah, that's hilarious.
And fucking, like, the idea of, like, the kids at the table were all 20 years. How do you fucking know what age these people were? Like, you have no idea. It could have been a 15-year-old, 16-year-old kid that looks like they're 20, because guess what? 16-year-olds look like they're 20 sometimes. That's just the way. I mean, like, people that are young, like...
Well, that's a terrible argument, because why is your 16-year-old coloring?
Because they're at Disney. That's what they wanted to do at Disney. Like, listen, you let your kids do what they want to do at Disneyland. Like, at Disney, like, that's what they're wanting to do.
Kareem, the question before the group is, do you hate this woman with every fiber of your being, or just most of them?
Fuck this woman and fuck millennials.
Oh man.
And fuck the parents of millennials even harder.
Because I miss Sam Platts.
Because they are responsible for this shit. Look, you raise your kid to be a fucking adult. And there's a bunch of fucking, and I can't even blame it on millennial kids, because there's a lot of bunch of fucking 40 and 50 year old women, mostly white women, that want to be at Disneyland. They got the fucking Disneyland pass for the year.
Oh yeah,
that's who got those fucking passes. They're there like every fucking weekend or once a month.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's not just the millennials, but yeah, fuck this lady. Fuck millennials and fuck millennial parents for raising shitty ass human beings.
Millennials aren't shitty ass human beings.
Some of them are.
Just like some of every generation are.
Hashtag not all millennials.
No. Hashtag not all millennials.
All right. So the election's coming up on Tuesday. Some people have voted already. But 538 did some projections for the midterms. And they decided to tackle this and go, what if only women voted? Well, if only women voted, Republicans would lose the House. It would be 275 Democrats to 160 Republicans. If only women voted. What about if only men voted? Well, that's a little different. Republicans would, in fact, hold on to the House with 249 seats and 186 Democrat districts. The Democrat districts primarily sliding down the West Coast, with a couple of exceptions. Men are about 11 points more Republican than the country, and as such would elect a Republican majority. Now, what if only college-educated white people voted? Democrats would take the House 233 to 202. Again, you would have a big part of the Northeast, a sliver of the Midwest, all of the West Coast and some parts of the Southwest going Democratic, if only college-educated white people. Now, what if only white people without a college degree voted? This is very telling to me. The Republicans would hold on to the House 268 to 167. I don't know why white people without a college degree who are not earning very much money think that voting Republican is the way to make the country better. I do not get it. I guess I get it because they haven't been exposed to anything outside of their little bubble, but
So here's the deal about this election. This, to borrow from Andrew Gilliam, this election is going to show where the white people are as racist as the racist thinks they are.
It's fair. Oh, by the way, if only non-white people voted, 388 Democrats and 47 Republicans.
Well, that's why they're suppressing the vote. Okay, now it makes sense.
It's starting to make sense to you?
I got an idea. Hear me. Now, I am the Secretary of State for Georgia, and I'm going to be running for governor. We can't let these black people vote. I'm scared. If all these black people practice their Democratic right, they're going to vote Democrats.
Well, that's...
We need to make... I got an idea. Let's close down some of the Sunday ones, some of the Sunday voting booths, and then let's just close down some of the registration offices in the black counties. I mean, that's what happened. That's pretty much what happened.
The suppression efforts are stunning.
In Georgia, in Texas.
All over the place.
North Dakota.
Anywhere that isn't, say, a liberal area that has minorities, the Republican Party is about suppressing the vote. Period. So, they're not about turning people out to vote. They're about suppressing the vote.
So the Supreme Court gutted the Voting Rights Act.
Yes.
We're past that. We're not racist anymore. We don't need it. So fuck you, Supreme Court.
And this was the old Supreme Court.
Yeah. So fuck you, Supreme Court. One. They gerrymandered Pennsylvania so much that Pennsylvania, the Democrats won the majority, won the popular vote in Pennsylvania and lost like 10 seats. The fucking state of North Carolina, my home, these bastards gerrymandered so bad that they split a fucking black college in half. They put half the students in one district and half the students in another.
Devious.
Yeah. And everybody talked. So the thing that the news media doesn't do that they should do, so they go back and throw this on Obama. Oh, Obama was a drag on the Democratic Party for 8 years. But what you don't talk about while you're talking about Obama and his effect on the Democratic Party is how fucking gerrymandered the shit was during those 8 years.
There was that, and let's not fool ourselves. Even in the Democratic Party, you had the old school Democrats who were not thrilled with the idea of Obama being the head of the party.
Yes. I mean, you know, you did have some of that too.
Dixiecrats.
No, not the Dixiecrats. You had a lot of Democrats. So part of the problem with the Democrats is, and we've said it on the show, is that they won't stand up for shit.
Exactly.
So when Obamacare went through and the Republicans started rebranding it, the Democrats, instead of them standing up and saying, no, they're lying, this is what it's doing.
Right.
They ran from it.
Well, and you had all these people who were like, I don't like that Obamacare. And like, well, where do you get your insurance? I get my insurance from the Affordable Care Act.
Yeah. Instead of Democrats standing up on the good things that had happened under President Obama, they ran from him. Because the Tea Party came out, they ran from him.
Yeah. So you go back home and try to figure out how to overcome that.
Yeah. Instead of instead of touting what was the good things about it. But still, you and part of that was the messaging and the press with the messaging. But the other part of that was all the fucking gerrymandering. That, like, the shit was, like, there's a documentary on it that you should watch. The shit was ridiculous.
Yeah, it happened in California, too. Yeah, there are places in California where if you look at the district, you're like, who the fuck drew this?
Yeah. But, like I said, when the press talks about it, when you watch those shows, they like to say, oh, Obama, no, talk about the fucking gerrymandering and the suppressing the vote. Trump only won the state, won the presidency by 77,000 votes across like five states.
Well, I mean, he lost the popular vote by 3 million.
Yeah.
But all of these states, it's because of the districts in the state.
And a lot of those, and a lot of that was due to voter suppression.
Right, because those states were out there doing this during the whole presidency.
You're going to purge the voter rolls. Like, who the fuck purges voter rolls?
People who don't want black people to vote, Kareem. People who don't want black people to vote.
Fucking Georgia. Oh, we're going to get caught. Oh, we're going to wipe the servers.
Yeah.
All right. Well, enough.
We're not going to do anything about it.
Enough politics. I mean, election's almost here. It's time to turn our heads to Nebraska, where they've got a new marketing campaign.
Ad campaign to encourage tourism, or at least not disappoint those who do come to visit. One ad shows a happy half dozen people floating down a stream in an empty livestock tank. That's apparently a Nebraska cruise ship, with the headline, "Lucky for you, there's nothing to do here." John Ricks, the state's tourism director, says their ad campaign had to strike a different note because not a lot of people say they think of visiting Nebraska. He says, "I call bunk on that. Bunk. That's what people in Nebraska say instead of other four-letter words." He adds, "There's a lot of cool, fun stuff to do here." Another ad boasts festivals for everything from mud to testicles, meaning a food festival where sheep and beef remnants are deep-fried. See? Cool. Fun stuff. Vladimir Jones, a Colorado agency, prepared the ad campaign and says that focus groups have lauded its self-deprecating humor. Another Nebraska ad proclaims of their state, "Honestly, it's not for everyone. I've already packed my bags."
Vacationing in Nebraska this year?
I have been to Nebraska.
Not for you?
I used to sell more Nebraska ribeyes than anybody else at Tahoe Joe's on any night that I worked. It was a huge upsell. Increased my ticket usually by $50.
Oh, yeah, the Nebraska one. Everybody knows about that, too.
Well, it was actually
off
menu.
Lean back, relax, and enjoy sex toy news.
All right. So this is something you may not be aware of. Marilyn Manson, you don't necessarily think of Marilyn Manson when you think of sex toys. Well,
I thought he was dead.
Oh, no, Marilyn's still with us. And I think it's a close. There we go. He released a particularly interesting merch item on his website. A dildo. Not just any toy. It's an 8-inch tall, 1.5-inch diameter toy inscribed with his name and detailed with his face.
Oh, nice. So you can fuck him.
Mm-hmm. The double cross dildo plus bag merch items is safe for all users with silicone hypoallergenic makeup. Additionally, the paint used to create Manson's face on the toy is environmentally friendly and may wear off with frequent use. Other features include a silicone a suction cup at this toy's base for placement in a variety of areas and situations, as well as a silky black storage sachet for safekeeping. The outside of the bag also showcases Manson's name with a notable double-crossed logo. I think it's important that you guys take a good look at this.
I want to see this.
The item retails at $125.
Oh, my fucking God. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. For your safety, make sure you clean your toys with soap and water or a toy solution available at sex shops. The toy can be wiped, cleaned. It's not the first time a band has created merch for their more sexually adventurous fans. Ghost once offered their own adult toy merch bundle. The Ghost Phallus Mortis Ritual Box that had a t-shirt, metal logo charm, Bible case, divorce scroll, and a butt plug. That was $200.
Nice. I don't know, like, if I'd be... I don't know if I'd want to have sex with a girl that had that. Like, part of me, it would be, like, very, like, oh, this might be, like, kind of crazy and wild, you know? Because this chick... Because she'd have to be adventurous to have that, right? But then the other side, it's like, oh, man, she might be crazy also, because...
Or someone got her a gag gift.
And she just decided to use it.
You just didn't throw it out.
Just throw it out.
Just like your donation to Trump. Here's an article from Vice. I tried to replace men with clit-sucking sex toys. They ended up being kind of painful, and one of them made me pee.
I know, that's called squirting. I don't know. She probably pissed.
Anyway, she's been trying a variety of toys that claim to utilize suction and a variety of ways to mimic the sensations a clitoris would feel during oral sex. I've been calling these type of toys clit suckers. But I don't know whether any of them are actually doing any sucking. I'm not totally sure how they work. Their manufacturers use lots of terms like sonic waves and air technology and pulsations. They feel like they're providing a sensation of sucking without actually doing any sucking, if that makes sense. Though these aren't the first toys to try and imitate oral sex, they do seem to be the first of their kind to take it seriously. It's shockingly difficult to obtain an oral history, pun intended, of cunnilingus imitators, but their history seems to be mostly consist of those jokey tongue-shaped vibrators that have been around for a while. They never took off, the way these new suction toys have. First hit the scene in 2015, maybe because the technology wasn't right, or perhaps because they look like a joke, even if they aren't. For instance, take this tongue merry-go-round thing called the... Liquid squeal. Said if you showed me that and said it feels just like oral sex, I'd think you were fucking with me. For single women especially, the thought of there being a device that can eat you out so you don't have to hit up yet another Tinder schmuck who makes sure to tell you that this doesn't mean you're dating when he comes up for air sounds like a goddamn dream come true. Hopefully, I thought, there would be better than the real thing and I could give up men for good. Spoiler alert, they're not. Sorry, ladies, you're stuck with us.
Hello.
Kareem, hot take?
Don't do it.
All right, we've got a lot of murals around Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are very nice. I am not clicking this motherfucking ad, but it keeps popping up. That's I want to punch
ad.
It right in
stupid
the face.
Stupid fucking ad. Stupid piece of shit.
Oh, I'm not clicking you. Not clicking. I don't know why all of these banner ads are in Spanish. I'm sorry I don't speak Spanish. All right, I'm going to say something pithy so we don't have to listen to this ad featuring Adam Levine of Maroon 5.
Oh.
There's a new painting on the side of a restaurant in Indianapolis that's upset some people.
Eyebrows on the Near East Side in a neighborhood.
That's right. The painting on the side of a restaurant shows two cartoon rabbits on top of one another. As Fox 59's Randy Spieth explains, some are calling this art and others are calling for it to be removed.
Some say it's art. Others are saying it's inappropriate. It's a new mural on the side of the restaurant, Beholder.
It's more suitable for adults than it is children.
We've decided to not show the mural in its entirety.
There's nothing outright obscene with it. There's nothing profane.
But some neighbors don't want children walking by to see it, as it suggests a sexual act and shows a rabbit smoking.
It's promoting cigarettes. In the inner city where people don't need to be promoting an unhealthy habit like that, That's unacceptable. And kids are walking. Wait, you're right across from the school. Kids are walking. Why do we have to explain to our kids?
Across the street is Woodruff Place, which has had its own art.
Why do I gotta talk to my kids about anything? I don't want to talk to my kids. Don't you know? Let alone have to explain something. Basically, they're upset because there's a mural of two bunnies having sex and one of them is smoking.
So,
I don't want to talk to my kids. Why have to talk to my kids about anything? She's my favorite. She is my new favorite. So, yes, Kareem?
So, they're using cigarettes. They're using the bunny to target kids and cigarettes.
And humping.
Shame on them.
Shame. Shame. All right, let's wrap this thing up and get out of here.
Let's leave the hustle and bustle for small town news.
All right, it's time for Marilyn Haggerty and the Eat Beat, which has nothing to do with the clit suckers. Ooh, I wonder if you can take the clit suckers on the Eat Beat. Marilyn, idea for the next column.
Good.
The salad was adequate. The first line. That is a scathing review from Marilyn. The salad was adequate.
Mm-hmm.
Fresh and crisp lettuce. The 10-ounce ribeye steak served with a baked potato was just right. And I was pleased with the Wednesday evening dinner special for $9.95 at the Aroma Restaurant in the Ramada.
The Ramada.
This recently refurbished lounge in the Ramada has been drawing a variety of customers with its weekly offerings. The place is dark, but not too dark. Seating is comfortable and there is a friendly ambiance. You know, dark, but not too dark. So let me ask you this, Marilyn. Is it dark enough to get a blowjob without arousing any attention?
Because if so, I know a couple that wants to eat there.
The lounge brings customers in early on other weeknights with free incentives, but my goal was to try the Wednesday ribeye. It was worthy with nice seasoning and a generous size. Her meat was a generous size. Along with Dreamer's Lounge, the Ramada restaurant is open from 10 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. and 5 to 8 p.m. Monday through Friday. With its food throughout the week, the Ramada has a following for after-church time brunch on Sundays. Woo! It hosts regular meetings of retired teachers.
All right.
Is there anything more exciting than meetings of retired teachers?
I just like how the Ramada is the place people are going. Have you had a steak at the Ramada? Man, it is good.
With its food throughout the week, the Ramada has a following for the after church and brunch on Sundays. It hosts regular meeting of retired teachers and is the gathering place for service clubs, including the South Forks Lions Club on Tuesday mornings and Optimists on Wednesdays. That seems like a good idea. Longtime experienced servers lend a professional touch to dining at the Ramada. That means they're old. Among them are Jim Doman, Betty Williams, and Michelle Omlid. Large dining rooms are the scene of group meetings, and a wedding reception with 350 guests was on the books for the weekend. Beef tips or chicken are the most often served in large group meals, according to Ryan Gunville. He's been chef at the Ramada for 8 years. He likes trying new items. He welcomes special requests. He doesn't.
He does not.
While he ventures into foods of all nations, he also has a burger menu. It includes the Chef Ryan's Buddy Burger, which is enough to feed 4 hungry people for $16.95. The 1-pound burger is topped with tomatoes, diced onions, lettuce, mayo, and cheddar cheese, encased in a homemade bun with a $16.95 price tag. Yeah, we get it. It's $16.95. Among specialties of the Ramada is the Chana Masala Frankie, an Indian favorite. It is served in the Dreamer Lounge and promises to spice up your night. It's served with spiced chickpeas, wrapped in naan bread and chutney.
Wait, what? All right, okay, whatever. That's not really... Okay, cool.
Another Indian specialty is chana masala. Chef Ryan has shown his skill in creating fine foods for receptions. He says he started his work from the ground up 8 years ago. He enjoys trying new items, and he welcomes special requests. She's just repeating shit now.
Yeah.
By the way, Aroma Restaurant's at the Ramada, 1205 North 43rd Street in Grand Forks. They take reservations, and the manager is Karen Smith. And, of course, the owner is Smiley Thacker.
Smiley.
So, Dreamer's Lounge is different than Aroma.
Yes.
Oh, okay, but they're both in the Ramada.
Both in the Ramada.
Okay.
Now you get it. Here's the report card. With specials in its Dreamer's Lounge, the Ramada Sunday Brunch service is appealing. Servers are experienced and professional. The food is generally good and sometimes exceptional.
But it's generally good.
Generally good, sometimes exceptional. That, Marilyn, that's not a report card.
Generally good.
Clearly, Marilyn does not understand the concept of a report card at all.
No.
So I'm going to have to give Marilyn a C-.
Yeah, sorry. But you know what? C's get degrees.
That's true. They're all voting, too. All right, everybody. Get out there and vote on Tuesday. We'll be back with another news show right after Election Day. We'll see how much damage y'all did.
Yeah, and if you're working some type of event or something like that, be there till 8 until the polls close so Christiana doesn't have to say shit to you. Because, I mean, and I get what she's saying. If you work for some place that's trying to get out the vote, you don't have an event at 7 when the polls are open till 8.
So, you know, right. The polls open in the morning, too. You can go in the morning.
Yeah.
So y'all can eat a dick. The polls are open plenty of time, unless you're somebody who works 15 hours a day. And by the way, your employer will give you time to go vote, and if they don't, kick them in the nuts.
Yeah. There you go. Suppress that, bitch.
Quick reminder, if you're getting stuff on Amazon, please click through the Shop Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com. Kicks up a little percentage to us, and we do appreciate every penny that we can get. Rey Mysterio.
Yeah.
WWE in Saudi Arabia today.
Oh, cool for them.
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
It's not. John Cena has backed out, so.
I was being facetious.
He said, nope. He said, you can't see me.
See, nah.
You can't see me in Saudi Arabia. Because I am a movie star, and I ain't getting blackballed in Hollywood just to go wrestle in Saudi Arabia.
No.
So I will not be watching any bit of that, which is rare for me.
But yeah, it is.
There you go. All right, everybody, have a great weekend. We will see you next time. Get out and vote, and at least read up on what you're voting for first.
Yeah, and if you're unsure about the prob, just vote no on it.
Vote, bitches, vote.
Vote or die! All right, have a great weekend. Bye.